Stay tuned. The Generic Live Show is up next. Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Thank you everyone for joining us here on a Sunday. Glad to be with us. Also good to be here. We are running a bit behind on a Sunday. It's 9:02 because of some technical difficulties. But we are running... We're pushing through nonetheless. Dale Campbell here with you, though. We will push through. So glad to be here. Lots to say and do on the show today. We are going to be talking about the Democratic Convention that happened. Sorry, I should move my microphone closer to my mouth. That would help. That would help you hear me, right? That's typically how that works. On the show this week, like we did with the Republican convention, should have ripped these off before the show, but I'm doing it now. The report cards are back. We are going to be talking report cards. They're bigger report cards, but they're on two pages. We'll say I do have a couple of other notes in regards to the Democratic convention. As opposed to the Republicans last week. We've got the Democratic report cards this week. Way fewer speakers this week in the Democratic side of things than the Republican side of things. The Republican side of things last week, we had to truncate the amount of speakers, about amount of time that we had on each one. There was two. This is keynote major speakers, not performances or nothing. But we will talk about the fallout in regards to this. I suppose in each day, like we did last week, but it's less jammed packed, and I don't know why. And I'm kind of saddened as to why. And I'm kind of baffled as to why they didn't have as many kind of speakers this time around as opposed to the Republicans. But nevertheless, and notwithstanding, we will have that, and we've got some other things for you as well tonight. We'll jump in to the show. We'll jump in with these speeches. Monday night, it all started on Monday night, where four main keynote speakers took the stage: Michelle Obama, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Adrid Silvia, a dreamer. We're going to start our coverage. You'll hear sound from all of these candidates, and then you'll hear me giving out my report card. We're going to start with Senator Bernie Sanders, the avid rival of Hillary Clinton throughout this campaign. We'll talk about Bernie Sanders and what he did after this speech, but we have the speech from Bernie Sanders in regards. We have a few clips of him to play for you. Little bits of samplers, per se.
Election days come and go, but the struggle of the people to create a government which represents all of us and not just the 1%. A government based on the principles of economic, social, racial, and environmental justice. That struggle continues.
That is Senator Bernie Sanders at the first night of the Democratic National Convention. More of his speech here. We do have more of his speech here for you. Then we have his letter grade as I hand out report cards to all of these all of these keynote speakers. Here is Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont.
Toward oligarchy that we are seeing in this country. Her Supreme Court appointments will also defend a woman's right to choose. Workers' rights, the rights of the LGBT community, the needs of minorities and immigrants, and the government's ability to protect our environment.
That is Senator Bernie Sanders last night. I gave Senator Bernie Sanders on my report card a B. I think he was very effective in what he was trying to say. Kind of give it, he was giving kind of an outline of what Hillary is planning to do, why you shouldn't vote for Donald Trump. His delivery, though, was all one tone. He was not, and it wasn't very effective to give the speech kind of some context that it really, really needed. I think it needed a little bit more context for my liking. Anyway, it just felt like that he was yelling at us and yelling at us and yelling at us. Here's something. I wanna get to the exact moment where Bernie Sanders talks. I think I've just about got it lined up here. He opens up a motion to oppose, instead of opening up the floor for the delegates to cast their votes, like this is, should normally work. Bernie Sanders, I think it was after his speech, broke normal protocol and moved for the Democratic nomination to be decided by acclamation rather than delegate vote, rather than everyone say, let's have Hillary Clinton be voted for, as opposed to let's have the delegates fight over who should be which nominee. Here is Bernie Sanders speaking. I think I've got the moment right.
Move that the convention suspend the procedural rules. I move that all votes cast by delegates be reflected in the official record. And I move that Hillary Clinton be selected as the nominee of the Democratic Party for President of the United States.
Thank you, Senator Sanders. Senator Sanders has moved in the spirit of unity to suspend the rules. To suspend the rules and nominate Hillary Clinton by acclamation as the presidential candidate of the Democratic Party. A second. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Senator Bernie Sanders. I don't know who that speaker is, but there was some controversy surrounding that. We will talk about that later on. Want to get to the speakers of Monday night because there were four of them, as opposed to the other nights where there was only two main headlines in terms of speakers. Want to get to Elizabeth Warren, who had some troubles. Because she was the former head of the DNC. I want to get to her speaking, and then we'll get later on in the program to the controversy surrounding her and the DNC, her relation to it. We'll hear some sound now from Elizabeth Warren.
That devastated millions of American families because he thought it would help him scoop up more real estate on the cheap. Donald Trump set up a fake university to make money by cheating people and taking their life savings. Donald Trump goes on and on and on about being a successful businessman. But he filed business bankruptcy 6 times, always to protect his own money and stick the investors and contractors with the bill.
That is a former head of the DNC, Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat from Massachusetts. I want to correct myself before all the hate mail comes in. Bernie Sanders actually identifies himself as an independent senator from Vermont. Just want to get that clarification out there as well. I gave Elizabeth Warren a B in her speech. I think she was also effective in what she was trying to achieve in her speech, but I don't think that she was nailing wrong points in her speech in the negative against Donald Trump as opposed to the positive towards Donald Trump. It was actually very, very close to a C, because I don't think she was very, very, very warranted to what she was saying, but I think she was effective nonetheless. I want to get to Dreamer Astrid Sylvia as well. We'll play this whole speech because it is very, very short. It's only less than two minutes here. Astrid Sylvia, the Democratic.
When I was 4 years old, my mother and I climbed into a raft, and we crossed the river to join my father in America in search of a better life. All I had was a little doll. I grew up like an ordinary girl. My dad worked as a landscaper, and my mom stayed at home with my brother and I. But while my friends did ordinary things, I couldn't, because my parents were afraid that someone might discover I was undocumented. My family believed so deeply in the promise of this country that we risked everything for the American dream. As an undocumented student, I felt like college was out of reach. But after a journey of 10 years, I finally graduated from Nevada State College. My family and I are here because of people like Senator Harry Reid, mi abuelito, who put themselves in our shoes and helped us. And while President Obama's immigration action protected me, we live in constant fear that my parents could be taken away from their grandson, Noah. So when Donald Trump talks about deporting 11 million people, he's talking about ripping families apart, separating families like mine and like Carla's. Hillary Clinton understands that this is not who we are as a country. I have seen her comfort children like Carla, who are scared that they might lose their parents to deportation. I know she will fight to keep our families together. Nuestras familias. I know she will.
That is Astrid Sylvia. I played the whole speech there because I had a message to respond to. I gave Astrid Sylvia a C. I think her speech ended abruptly. I think she could have delivered a much better speech. I think she was the worst speaker of the first night. Not saying that she didn't have a powerful message to deliver, but she didn't have that punch and that power that I think that her speech could have had if she wasn't on pretty much dead last. I think she could have had that punch and that power that she really, really needed to have her speech to have. She did hit both sides of adequately on who was the better choice. These candidates, I will say this, these conventions had a very, very easy job, and easy as in that the Democratic Party, the Democratic Convention particularly, all they had to do was say, Donald Trump's bad, vote for us because you know us. And the Democratic Convention had an easy job as well in terms of don't vote for Hillary Clinton because of the email controversy and the Benghazi stuff. So these conventions had two easy stories. And there was a lot of fodder and a lot of filler on the other side of the aisle, particularly because they had a lot more to kind of cram in here There wasn't a lot to cram in here, but activities started at 4 in the afternoon. You've got to think these speeches started at 4 in the afternoon. So, well, there was a lot of topics to cover. There was a lot of time to cover them in, but a lot of these speeches kind of didn't live up to the expectation. We saved the best till last. Michelle Obama came out in pure fashion to come out and deliver her speech. She was first up in the night. Here is the beginning moments of Michelle Obama's speech at the first night, the first opening speech at the Democratic Convention night one on Monday night. Okay, first of all, she laughs, but anyway, we'll move on.
Thank you all. Thank you so much. You know, it's hard to believe that it has been 8 years since I first came to this convention to talk with you about why I thought my husband should be president. Remember how I told you about his character and conviction, his decency and his grace, the traits that we've seen every day that he served our country in the White House.
That is the opening remarks from Michelle Obama. We'll have one more clip from Michelle Obama here, delivering her speech at the Democratic National Convention night one.
For life, kids who look to us to determine who and what they can be. You see, Hillary has spent decades doing the relentless, thankless work to actually make a difference in their lives. Advocating for kids with disabilities as a young lawyer, fighting for children's health care as First Lady, and for quality child care in the Senate. And when she didn't win the nomination 8 years ago, she didn't get angry or disillusioned.
Yeah, she became Secretary of State, but we'll move on. Michelle Obama, there, I gave Michelle Obama an A. I think I have a soft spot for Michelle Obama speeches, me personally. But that is just me. I think she can deliver a powerful speech, a powerful message at any point. She knows when to stop and when to start. Her speeches just flow. They flow very, very naturally. And I think that's what impresses me the most about Michelle Obama and how she can deliver a speech. She gets an A from me on my report card. And going back recently to hear her speech in 2008, that was a very, very powerful speech and important speech for her to make as well. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Now, still miscombobulated of where I actually am, but hey, you know, we'll get through. We'll get there. Pokemon. Well, there was someone has actually catched every single Pokemon that is available in Pokemon Go. Didn't really take them long, did it? It took them this long. This long to kind of get all of the Pokemon in Pokemon Go. I'm surprised it took them this long. They've catched all of the Pokemon in Pokemon Go. But what lays ahead for the person in the US? Well, he is going to have a holiday. We'll tell you what that holiday involves as we continue here on the Generic Live Show, where we have full coverage of the Democratic National Convention all show long. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:21. Never miss a minute of the Generic Live Show. Find us on Blog Talk Radio. Just search Generic Live Show and listen. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. So glad to be with us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. So glad to be with you. Now, Pokemon Go has been publicly for about a month now, I think. And the person has finally... Wow, okay. Jeez. Serious tones. A Pokemon Go player has currently caught all 145 current Pokemon available in all of the app, including those exclusive to specific regions around the world. Before now, it is believed that Pokemon only attainable by traveling abroad. So far, it's become evident that Torados is available in North America, Mr. Mime in Europe, Farfetch'd in Asia, Kangaskhan in Australia. However, you might not run into these Pokemon in the wilds, but there may be still a chance to obtain the creatures without having to leave your hometown. Eurogamer recently spoke with John Smith, who lives in California, has claimed to capture all 145 Pokemon, all without having to travel abroad. Smith told Eurogamer he obtained region-specific Pokemon from catching 10,000 eggs. See there's a video there. Let's see what this video is in there. It's 12 minutes long. Jeez. Pokedex.
Okay, this is additional proof. As you can see, I've caught 145. I've seen 145. I'll scroll all the way down. You can see there's four Pokemon missing. That's Ditto and the three legendary birds. So we will go through and click on each one.
Bink. And he does that.
Bink. Wait, how come I won't click? Oh, what's going on? Why is it?
Huh.
Why is it pinned? Primeape. Growlithe.
No, his app is... Arcanine. His app is kind of freaking out a little bit.
Region specific to South America, because his trainer in the series was Replica, which is... And they found, he's a clone of Mew, and they found Mew in South America, so yada, yada, yada. And, but I think when they do a Mew event, he's supposed to spawn around Mew a lot. The closer you get to Mew, he'll spawn more and more and more. So I think they're reserving him for that, or they're making him region specific to South America, i.e. Spain, places, no, not Spain.
Okay, that might be the funniest thing I think I have ever heard in my life. Wow. Okay, for those people who give me crap about people who give me crap about not knowing geography, Spain is not, oh dear God, Spain is not in South America. Ladies and gentlemen, intelligence! Yay! I shouldn't knock on this. Actually, you know what? I'm going to knock on this guy because why not? Because I am jealous. I am envious that he has caught all 145 Pokemon. Now, there was a story of another guy. I don't have that one because this one came up as well. But there was one person who did reach all the Pokemon in North America and got sponsored from a travel company in his local area to travel around the world to catch those other Pokemon. And in return for advertisement money, of course. And that of course, you know, that was the return on having catched all the Pokemon. The travel agent kind of went to him, hey, you caught all the Pokemon, you now work for us, essentially. But that must be the funniest thing I think I have ever heard. Spain in South America. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. We'll continue bringing you the report card from the Democratic National Convention. We're not live there, but, well, because I live in Australia, so it would be a bit difficult for me to go there. But we have two speakers on Tuesday night. We'll talk more about what happened at the rule with the DNC, of course. More controversy and highlights from the DNC as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:30.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. So glad to be with you. It's Dale Campbell here on a Sunday. So glad to be with you. So the Democratic National Convention was on over the weekend. Now, want to get to all of the speakers, of course. Now, but what I want to say this first: there wasn't as many speakers when it came to the Democratic National Convention than what there was in the Republican National Convention. So. There's now two major key speakers per night. So we're at Tuesday night now. The first segment was dedicated to the first segment was dedicated to the first night. Now we'll get to the email leak that happened in regards to Debbie Waltzman Schultz. Okay. Okay, so the email, that was an email scandal, of course, because it wouldn't be the Democratic Party without an email leak. Now, the Debbie Waltzman Schultz was the chair of the Democratic National Convention. There were nearly 20,000 internal emails from high-ranking Democratic National Committee, DNC, officials confirmed what May Sanders supporters long believed over the course of the primary. Members of the DNC became hostile towards the Vermont senator's candidacy. In one late April email, Debbie Waltzman Schultz, and the DNC chair, who announced her resignation on Sunday, called the Sanders campaign manager Jeff Weaver an ass, a donkey, and a liar. Well, a donkey liar, okay. And discussed strategies for shaping the media coverage of the campaign. The emails show that by May, DNC staffers wanted Sanders out of the race. Wow, May. Jeez, that was a while ago. Where are we here? A search of WikiLeaks cracked into the database for the emails. Security's not an issue. Returns only a handful of emails. Monitoring Bernie Sanders before the relationship between the two organizations began to soar in mid-January. The Sanders campaign had suspicions of the DNC's neutrality from the start among Sanders supporters. It was widely believed that the committee had established a debate schedule that would limit Clinton's exposure to make it difficult for a rival to gain ground. if there was another person who magically got nominated. But a turning point came in December when several Senate campaign staffers took advantage of a software glitch to gain access to Clinton campaign propriety data, and the DNC responded by suspending the campaign's access to the database for 24 hours. Ooh, that's right. I don't think I talked about that here on the show. Actually, now that I think about it. A day later, DNC Deputy Communications Director Eric Walker noted that Rhode Island officials had left a number of polling places closed and anticipated that the organization would be blamed. Oof. God. Sanders, by the way, ended up winning Rhode Island by 12 points. Ugh. This does not look good. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange hinted this week that there were more emails to come. As for now, the leaks didn't really amount to much, aside from the fact there was a... Aside from the fact that they included a breach of donors' private data, including financial information, there was a new person that had to get elected, but apart from that, they didn't really get much. I want to know who the new person is. Debbie Waltzman Schultz is the old one. Who's the new one? Donna Brizzle, by the way. Donna Brizzle is the new DNC, and she is the interim chair of the DNC. Who is she, though? She's acting DNC chairwoman. There's a video here. Let's see if we can get audio from that one, people. Do it live! Do it live! She was involved in this too, apparently. Huh. But this doesn't say where she's from. Like, what her former position is.
Having the best in lifestyle and entertainment at your fingertips.
You're not sponsoring the show, so you can get muted. He does not believe in God. He had skated on saying he was in a Jewish heritage. I think I read he was an atheist. This would make several points of difference with my peeps. Oh, God. Okay, here we go. Here is...
Donna Brazile has stopped by, the legendary Democratic strategist. How do you like that? Who is now interim chair of the Democratic National Committee. A funny thing happened on the way to the convention, didn't it, Donna?
Absolutely. I came to the convention prepared to cast my vote as an unpledged delegate, otherwise known as superdelegate. I also came to the convention prepared to, as you know, be part of the coverage for CNN and ABC News. 24 hours after arriving, I got the news from Debbie herself that she wanted to step aside in order to allow the party to move forward. And she asked me if I would once again step up and serve as interim chair. So I will serve out Debbie's term over the next 6 months.
I know that it's been very controversial, but on a human level, she must have been crushed.
Debbie is my friend. I've known her for a long time. She's an extraordinary congresswoman. She's a great leader. Look at this convention. Look at all of the activities, all of the events that, you know, went into making this a successful 4 days. Debbie hired the staff, Debbie hired the CEO. Debbie has been amazingly involved. But as you know, she's also a leader. And given what has occurred with the hacking and the security breach, she took what I believe the extraordinary step to say it's time for her to go.
That is Donna Brazil, I think, interim chair at the DNC, talking about Debbie Waltzman Schultz, who did indeed step down after an email scandal. Here's more of that interview. We'll see if we can get some more sound on here to hear some of her perspective.
Fair and clear. She won. She won the majority of states, the majority of delegates. She won the majority of voters. She won this election. I think what Jane Sanders and others are concerned about, I would as well going forward, and we have a change commission that we're going to put together with representatives from both the Sanders as well as the Clinton campaign. What she was referring to are emails that will get into how many debates. I wasn't involved in that. Emails that get into whether or not we should do an extra step with a dispute on the Iowa caucus results. There are a lot of emails. Remember, this is a contested primary. And let me just say to the Sanders campaign, as I've said to the Clinton campaign, many of your emails are involved in this, too. Because if you wrote to the DNC, if you email about, you know, whether or not I have a debate ticket or whether or not I'm going to have a seat when I... Everything is out there. The Russians did not spare. They may not speak English, but they understood where everything was located.
Now, are you...
I want to hear this question.
Certain that the Russians were responsible? I just read that some... Intel chief said they can't say with certainty that the Russians were responsible for this hack. Do you have evidence, and have you talked to security specialists who feel without a doubt the Russians did this?
What we know is the information that we received, and I have not received the full briefing because, as you can imagine, I'm not the chair yet, but everything that we've received points to the Russians. And so we're going to go with that and hopefully get to the bottom of it. The FBI's investigating and others. This was a cyber attack, and why would they attack the Democratic Party? The first evidence was that there was material in that they took for the Trump, for Donald Trump, the research book. That's what we call it.
We do have to move on. That is acting DNC chairwoman Donna Brazil talking to Jesse Hellman. That is a good question. I like that question. I'm gonna do that report card for Jesse Hellman there. She gets all thumbs up from me. Want to get to these speeches though on Tuesday? I think that was still on Monday. Want to get to these speeches though? We're gonna start off with Mothers of the Movement. A Black Lives Matter interest group. They really are an interest group because Black Lives Matter is nothing official. It is nothing but an interest group. Interest groups. Here's their moment in the sun at the DNC, at the Democratic National Convention.
Hey, I need you all to hear me tonight. Give me 2 moments to tell you how good God is. Whew. Hallelujah. Give me a moment to say thank you. We are not standing here because he's not good. We're standing here because he's great. Whew. 1 year ago, yesterday, I lived the worst nightmare anyone could imagine. I watched as my daughter, Sandra Bland, was lowered into the ground in a coffin. She was my fourth of 5 daughters, and she was gone. No, not on administrative leave, but on permanent leave from this earth. Found hanging in a jail cell after an unlawful traffic stop and an unlawful arrest.
That is, I don't know who's talking there. I think Gwen Carr, mother of Eric Garner, I think, that doesn't sound right. I think that's more of Maria Hamilton. The mother of Mara Hamilton, they all gave a speech. I think there was about six of them up on stage, probably six or seven of them up on stage. I gave them a D. Now, I know I'm going to get some flack for that, but I gave them a D, and here's why. I think they weren't effective in delivering the message at all. They delivered no context. They delivered individual context, sure, but they didn't deliver any kind of context in relation to the issue. And I think they hindered the issue more so than anything else. I think words like unlawful, whether it was lawful or not, but I think the repetition amongst all of them with the unlawfulness of it, their job should be to kind of turn it around from a negative to a positive. That's what I believe that should happen with all of them, all the mothers of the movement. They're an interest group trying to fight crime and fight unlawful protesting. They need to start by delivering a message of change. However, they spent the whole time, yes, they did a few of them, I think, well, one or two of them did mention kind of bits and pieces of trying to Hillary will change this. That's about as far as it went, unfortunately. It just hindered the message that it was trying to deliver. That's what I think as well. That's who I gave a letter grade to. We'll get to Bill Clinton next hour from Tuesday night. But want to play some moments here from some. We're going to do honorable mentions because these weren't big ticket items.
Please give a warm welcome to Lena Dunham and America Ferreira.
They were at the National Convention.
I'm Lena Dunham, and according to Donald Trump, my body is probably like a 2.
And I'm America Ferreira, and according to Donald Trump, I'm probably a rapist.
Actually, that is fairly funny. I'm going to give America Ferreira that. That's probably funny.
But America, you're not Mexican.
And President Obama isn't Kenyan, Lena, but that doesn't stop Donald.
No. We know what you're all thinking. Why should you care what some television celebrity has to say about politics?
And we feel the same way. But he is the Republican nominee, so we need to talk about him.
That is a fair point. More from America Ferreira and Lena Dunham at the Democratic National Convention.
Born to immigrant parents, children who are immigrants themselves. Not everybody looks at them and sees an investment. But Hillary has spent the last 30 years proving what she sees in us. Our thriving adults, capable of contributing great things to this country.
America Ferreira there at the DNC, I think on Tuesday night, 27th would have been, Wednesday. But just, I didn't give her a score or anything because I didn't know, she wasn't a main ticket item. These were celebrities that kind of came and said, hi, we're here too, we're celebrities, look at us. So that is honorable mentions as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Now, coming up after the break, I've got to get to the right tab. I've got to get to the right window. Harry Potter fans are out in full force. But how much lengths will you go to get your hands on a Harry Potter book? As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us. It's 9:52. Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. That's right, whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, we'll give you some hard rocking. There you go. Yes. Oh, yes. Harry Potter is back. Oh, yes. Magic has crept onto the shelves of bookstores across the world, with crowds flooding in for the long-awaited release of J.K. Rowling's latest addition to the Harry Potter series. Potter fans eager to devolve back into the magical world of Hogwarts, queued for 2.5 hours at Sydney Doymock store on Sunday morning. That's this morning, in fact. Awaiting the release of Harry Potter, the Cursed Child. Fans awaited 9 years since the last novel, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and 5 years since its hit film adaptation. New script book is based on Rowling's theme production, which will officially open in London's West End on Saturday, shortly after the book was released. Rowling said at a gala opening of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child in London's West End, the book will be Harry's last. Avid fan Natalie Banks, 28, from Forster, said she waited outside the store since 7 a.m. because she wanted to be the first in Australia to get a copy. I got my first book when I was 13 and I was so excited about it. Oh my God, she said. And my mom babysitting all my kids all day so I can read the book. Then I can drive home to Foster tonight. What that voice is. Then I'll be reading the book to the kids starting from tomorrow night, she said. The latest installment from the end of Deathly Hallows, when Harry, now 37... Whoa. Harry Potter is now a 37-year-old father of three and is an overworked employee of the Ministry of Magic, farewells his son Albus for his first year of Hogwarts. What? Hang on, let me read this paragraph again. Hang on. This paragraph... No. This paragraph. The latest installment picks up the end of Deathly Hallows when Harry Potter, now 37-year-old father of three, an overworked employee of the Ministry of Magic, farewells his son Albus for his first year of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Oh, dear God. Nah. I'm done. Done. I'm nearly about to... Hang on. In the new book, a middle-aged Harry Potter gripes about the past that refuses to stay where it belongs, and a son who is struggling with the weight of a family legacy he never wanted. Oh my God. Oh dear God. You know, no, I'm done. No, can't. No, I can't. If we were closer to our commercial break, I would slam down this microphone right now. Doymock spokesperson Sue Bobermain said the store hadn't had such a massive lead-up for a new release since the last Harry Potter novel, with pre-orders for the new book reaching 15,000 in the week before its release. It's our biggest sales of a book on its opening day, probably in 5 years, maybe even 9 years since Deathly Hallows, she said. Justin Ratcliffe, managing director of Hetchy Australia, said the publishing company spent a year in preparations for the book's release in a logistical exercise much like a military operation. You know, I don't like Harry Potter. I play Quidditch. I got something stuck in my throat. But I will say this. Oh my God, do we really have to have a Harry Potter book where it's about him in his middle 30s going to his son? Now listen, kid, you need to go to Hogwarts and you're going to carry on this family legacy, you hear? Oh my God, no. Well, anyway, well. Get your book now, I guess, or it'll be staying there for a while. I want to see, there's a 48-second video. We have time. There's no talking, is there? No. Official script book will be released a day after. Zero Good Breaking Brothers Noble Record. Most pre-order book. We changed the music. I knew there was a part one and a part two. So this is part one's ones and twos. So there you go. Harry Potter, get your Harry Peter if you want it. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we'll continue breaking down. I think we'll spend most of the next segment on speeches. We'll get back to the speeches and not on Scandal, I think, because we're running a little bit behind in terms of who we need to cover speeches, because we've still got Bill Clinton from Tuesday to cover. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. It's 10 o'clock.